We're going to believe God to bring healing. If he hasn't started with you already, or you haven't even received your healing already through the time of worship and prayer, I believe God is going to heal you today. Amen. My name is Gideon Nash, and today I'm going to speak from Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 to 25. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 to 25. I'll read it to you, and I decided to use PowerPoint so some of you can follow it. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon possessed, those having seizures and paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across Jordan followed him. Amen. 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 Can I have some response? Amen. Amen. Today I'm going to talk on the subject, I am the Lord, or I am the God that healed thee. I like the King James Version. I am the God that healeth thee. But it means, I am the God who heals you, in simple language. And if God said, I am the God who heals you, that is not a past tense. It's a present continuous tense. That means Jesus Christ heals today. Amen. He heals tomorrow. He heals forever. Yes. I am the God who heals you. And healing is all-encompassing. And today I would like to open the Word of God to us a little bit, because sometimes we people who are in church, we hear the Word of God and we think, oh, it's for that generation, or it's for them, it's not for us. I am the God that heals you. Say I'm into that. Amen. You're so quiet today. Say I'm into that. Amen. See, I am the God that heals you. That is what God is saying. And if God is saying that, it's as if he's taking his credibility on the line. He's bold and confident and saying that, you know what, I am the God who heals you. That is a very powerful statement. Unequivocal, you cannot deny the power with which it comes. See, and as an introduction, I always say this. That doesn't work. If it's not working, please press it for me. It's working, right? Thank you. Thank you. So, I am the God who heals you. God will heal his people for his name's sake, because he has proclaimed that I am the God who heals you. In case you're thinking I'm just making it up, you can look it up for yourself in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. I am the God who heals you. Because sicknesses came to this world as the result of sin. And a holy God abhors sin. So if God said, I'm the one who heals you, and sickness was released into this world, this universe, by Satan, then God and Satan are not bedmates, are they? They're not friends. So God abhors, a holy God abhors sin. And the Holy God abhors sicknesses. He therefore abhors sicknesses, diseases, and any form of illness. Because we read here that he went about proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease. He didn't say some diseases. Every disease and all illness among the people. He didn't say some illness. And news about him spread all over. If you hear Syria, you think, no, it doesn't exist. Yes, it's present-day Syria. Yes, the same region. And people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases. Those suffering from severe pain. Today I know God is going to heal people who are in pain. Amen. If you are in pain, I tell you that today you're going to receive your healing. Because as I was prepping, I hear pain, pain, pain. I said, God, anyone with pain today, receive your healing in Jesus' name. And the demon possessed, and those having seizures and paralyzed, he healed them all. Hallelujah. Amen. And large crowd did not only come from Syria, they came from Galilee, they came from Decapolis, they came from Jerusalem, they came from Judea, they came from the region across the Jordan and filled all those places. So the whole of the Middle East were gathering to Jesus. Because I am the God who heals you. See, when Jesus Christ began his ministry, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." In another translation, New King James translation, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." That means it's within your grasp. So today I want you to know that healing is within your grasp. Healing is at hand. It's in your hands. And you have the choice whether you want healing or you don't. The kingdom of God is supernatural because it is not of this world. That is not as the world thinks and reasons, but a heavenly kingdom. That's why he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come." Amen? Amen. Because his kingdom is not from this world. And Jesus Christ himself said this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come." And when Jesus Christ stood before Pilate and were being judged in John chapter 18, verse 36, Pilate asked him, "Are you a king?" He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Because his kingdom is supernatural. His kingdom is not a kingdom made with bricks and mortar and human defense. But his kingdom is something unseen but powerful. It goes beyond. Because we know doctors and nurses are the ones who heals, right? But then God said, "I'm the one who heals." That means there's a supernatural intervention in our realm to bring what is in the supernatural so that it will become natural for us. He wants to manifest it for us. Healing is about that. You take it from heaven and you drop it to people and it becomes reality. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what Jesus Christ was doing. He was touching the heavens. So repent, for the kingdom of God has come. Repent means have a change of mind. A firm decision of the human will to change your mind from sin. To change your mind from dead works, religion. To change your mind from disobedience and rebellion. That means having your own way, thinking that you can do without God. Yes, do it without God because you have the skills. But who gave it to you anyway? You have the wisdom. Who gave it to you anyway? Supposing something click and you go funny, your wisdom is gone. Supposing something happens and you're not able to go to work, your skill set is made of non-effect. Because what you want to do, you can't do it. So, repent. It's to change from rebellion, from your independence, to walk towards a holy God. Thank you. Forgotten to use this. So you press the button for me. So repentance, then, is to turn and have a change of mind towards and walk towards a holy God and receive salvation. That's what it is about. Have a change of mind, change of attitude, change from your independence, your dead works, your sinful nature, and come to a holy God and receive salvation. Repentance, therefore, is a deliberate decision of our will to submit to God without reservation and willingness to obey him so that the kingdom of God will come to us. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come. So when Jesus said that, that means he wants the kingdom of God to come to you. He wants the supernatural manifestation of God to be yours. Are you with me? Amen. You see, so when we repent, that means we pave the way for the Holy God to come to us, to manifest himself to us. We pave the way for the supernatural God to manifest supernatural things in our lives. Those without repentance, they will not see this. Because they are too independent. They cannot. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law and the religious leaders, dead works. They couldn't do miracles because there was no repentance in their hearts. They were sewn up to their own ways. They were so kind of glued onto their own mindset and religion, they could not open their heart to repent, to see Christ and receive the Lord as their Savior. So then, Repentance brings the kingdom of God to you. Now salvation is not, it's in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to preach salvation. And salvation means redemption. Salvation means deliverance. Salvation means rescue. Salvation means recovery. Salvation means escape from anything that will harm you or otherwise harm you. So I consider sickness will harm you, yes or no? Diseases will harm you, yes or no? Pain will harm you, yes or no? Illness will harm us, yes or no? I know that for sure. So salvation, so the kingdom of God that to come is to help us to actually receive redemption and salvation from God. And that for that means God will deliver us. God will rescue us. God will bring recovery. For some of you, you've gone through so much, maybe emotional trauma, maybe somebody said it don't help us. Maybe emotional drama. Maybe you've lost a loved one and you are hurting. Some maybe psychological, maybe emotional, whatever it is. God wants to bring you recovery. Salvation means recovery. Salvation means redemption, to buy you back, to restore you to where you ought to be. Salvation means escape from anything, because when you are in sin, sin will kill you. Because you will die. You die. Your spirit dies. You don't respond to God. And you do something and you know it's wrong and you're still doing it and nothing pushes you. You are dead in your trespasses. The Bible says Ephesians chapter 2, even when we're in our trespasses, dead in our trespasses, Christ came to save us. For by grace we have been saved. Dead in our trespasses. Trespasses, sin makes you die. And I've always been telling you that there are three voices that you need to hear. You either want to listen to the voice of your conscience, you want to listen to the voice of God, or you want to listen to the voice of Satan. And these three voices all compete powerfully. But whom you lend yourself to is the voice that you hear. If you lend yourself to God, you hear God's voice. If you lend yourself to the enemy, you hear his voice all the time. If you lend yourself to your conscience, that means the spirit of God in you, your human spirit, God will speak to you. And it will bring conviction to you. So, these things will hurt us. And Luke, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, said there's not salvation in no other name except the name of Jesus. Effectively, there's no recovery in any other name. There's no restoration. There's no rescue. There's no escape from the impending disaster that is to come. There's no redemption. There's no deliverance. In no other name except the name of Jesus. That is another bold statement in the Bible. And when God makes such bold statement, he's not joking. That means if you do not listen, you do not hold it unto yourself, you do not hold it like the kingdom of God is at hand, you miss your visitation, you miss your opportunity. If God is saving us, then our salvation should be to the uttermost. That means our salvation to be complete. It should go far for us. It should be complete. It should be wide-ranging. It should be all-inclusive. It should be comprehensive. And it should be whole, to drive out any strange things that is in us. That means any platform of the enemy that is in us to remove the hold of Satan over our lives. Shall I repeat that? That means that when we are talking about salvation, then if God will save us, then he should save us totally. Are you with me? When people wave palm branches and they say, Hosanna, Hosanna, what were they saying? Save us. It wasn't praise the Lord. Praise the Lord is different. That is hallelujah. Hosanna means save us. They were saying, save us, Lord. Save us, Lord. Blessed is he who come in the name of the Lord. Save us. Hosanna. So today, our prayer is that God is going to save us to the utmost. He's going to save us completely. He's going to be all-inclusive, all wide-ranging, comprehensive whole, to drive out any strange thing or any platform that we've allowed the enemy to get into our lives. Any point of entry, he's ready to remove it from us so that we'll be free. Our salvation becomes holistic. These medical people love that, especially those people who work in the mental health department. Holistic. That's where I learned it. Yes or no, Mrs.? So, our salvation, when it becomes holistic, Or our salvation becomes holistic when all forms of oppression is removed from our bodies. Are you hearing that? Our salvation becomes holistic, completely, all-inclusive, when all forms of oppression is removed from our bodies. Sickness is a contradiction to salvation and the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Sickness is a contradiction to the kingdom of God and a contradiction to our salvation. I'm making a case, and I know it is true. I'm confident it is true because the Bible says so, and my heart bears witness it, my conscience bears witness it, and I'm hearing the voice of God, and I know it is true. It's scriptural. That unless oppression is removed from our bodies, if there are sicknesses, it oppresses you. If there's illnesses, it oppresses you. If there's a pain, it oppresses you. And what we want is for our salvation to be complete. And the kingdom of God is not about sicknesses. It's not about oppression. It's not about illnesses. It's not about diseases and pain. It's about a supernatural manifestation of God to redeem us completely. Christ went to the cross to destroy the works of the evil one. We know that from Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. And we know that from 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. 1 John chapter 1. Chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John 1, John 3, 8. So Jesus Christ going to the cross was for a reason. Would have been going to the cross would have been irrelevant. Are you hearing me? Say irrelevant. Irrelevant. Only a few people believe that. Going to the cross would have been irrelevant if he did not include our healing as part and parcel of the package of salvation. Are you getting some revelation here? Would have been irrelevant if there was no salvation. So 700 years before Jesus Christ himself came, guess what? Isaiah chapter 53 verse 4 and 5 said, by his stripes we were healed. Because he was bruised for what? Our transgression. He received the stripes for our healing. He was despised for our sake. He was pierced because of our sins, and by his stripes we are healed. 700 years before Jesus was born, how could that prophet have known? It's by the supernatural presence of God to say that when the Savior comes, when the one who saves people come, our salvation on the cross will include our healing. So if there's no healing in our salvation, then our going to the cross is irrelevant. Do you get it right now? Because the religion or other religions that have not Jesus at the center of it, there is no cross at the center of it. There is no healing at the center of it. That is true. At least I've studied them. At least I've been with some of them. At least I argued with some of these imams and look at scripture, and I couldn't find it in some of those scriptures that they have, that there's healing. That they are their salvation. They have hope. That's one day something is happening. But then we have the confident assurance that we know that Jesus Christ is with us. And therefore, one day we will be with him even if we die. And I just want to remind you, I'm a living testimony to the fact that if we die, we will live one day. Because what the Bible promises, it is actually very true. My eyes have seen it. And therefore, when I'm talking as someone who has evidence of what God has prepared for those who believe him. Sicknesses can affect your mind and make you faithless. You see, when you are under sickness for a long time, your faith goes away because that is the enemy's tool. Because sickness does not come from God. So when it is upon you, he just said, where is your God that you're not getting saved? Where is your God that you're not getting healed? Where is your God that you cannot be healed? Your mind is attacked. It becomes a battlefield of the enemy. Hallelujah. I know you are listening. That's why you're quiet. Sickness can affect your mind and make you faithless. The enemy makes you tend to accept faithlessness, sicknesses, and diseases as God's will. Have you heard many Christians say, oh, it is God's will. Oh, God is punishing me with this. Oh, why would God punish you with sickness? Are you a murderer? Why would God punish you with sickness? When it is not his to do that. Why would God punish you with sickness when he said, I am the God that heals you? If I'm the God that heals you, why will I punish you with sickness? So please don't say that, oh, God has put this sickness on me. And some people with lack of knowledge and lack of revealed knowledge of scripture, they said, oh, I mean, but Paul said that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And there was something in me that keeps me in check. You know what? Wrong interpretation of scripture. I'm not going there to give you the right interpretation. But hear what I'm saying. That sickness can produce faithlessness. But whose voice are you listening to? I am the God that heals. Or the one who tells you that God has brought sicknesses on you. Whose voice will you listen to? I know the voice I will listen to. I will listen to the voice of the one whom I have read that he went about proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness among the people, and news about him spread all over the countries, and they brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon possessed, those having seizures and paralyzed, and he healed them all. That is the voice I want to listen to. So if you like your sickness, you hang around with the devil because he's talking to you. Hallelujah. Are you with me? If you like your sickness, hang around. You know whose voice you are listening to. In case you don't know, you are listening to the voice of the devil. I took that three voices. Voice of God, voice of your spirit, your conscience, and voice of the devil. They're all very, very powerful. But if you train your ears to hear the voice of God, you will know who is speaking. Hallelujah. Amen. But today I pray that none of you want to keep your sickness, because once you keep your sickness, you know what? You've given a point of entry for the enemy to hold you. That means you are in his hands. You faithless. You can't even believe God for healing. And he tells you, oh, God cannot heal you. You must hold that voice attacking your mind from negative thoughts and despair captive. Say captive. Captive. You see, you don't want that voice to hold you captive. You have to hold it captive. That is why what 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5 tells us. It says, look, you know something? I'm only paraphrasing it because I'm working within time. That sometimes, you see, the enemy comes like principalities and powers. And sometimes it comes as a stronghold. And the Bible said we wrestle. With these, we wrestle. That means it's like you are here, not a hero there. You are fighting it, you are fighting it, you are fighting it. But then he said that he holds you captive. But then we have to hold it captive. You understand that? We have to hold it captive because we have to obey Christ. And if you hold those things that affect our minds and our strongholds, if we hold it captive because our obedience to the word of God is sure, then those things will obey us. Are you with me? You can turn to your Bible and read it. Because if you do that, then you hold it captive because you've obeyed the word of God, that sickness, it don't come from him. And if you obeyed it that way, then something is going to happen to you. Guys, let me know how I'm doing with time, yeah? And stop looking at your mobiles before the enemy gets you. Our obedience to God's word today will be complete so that we can punish every act of disobedience, even the attacks on our minds and our body. The word of God says, I am the God that heals you. I am the one that healeth thee. The voice we will listen to is that of God and obey it. By acting on it, this is what faith in God is about. Hearing the word of God, allowing our spirit, our conscience, the voice of our spirit to respond to it, and we act on it, then the two is definitely stronger than that of the devil. When people of Israel were rescued from bondage, let me tell you this story. Having been in Egypt for 430 years, in bondage, slavery, the first thing, say it with me, the first thing. One more time. Another time. The first thing God did after he's taken them from bondage, you know what he did? Was to heal the waters of Marah. The waters were bitter, they couldn't drink it. If they drank the water, they would have diseases and poison, and a lot of them would die. The water was there to kill them. They came from bondage, but there was this trap where this water is there, and the water was not ready for drinking. And they were thirsty. They needed to. God rescued them. And yet this river was there. They couldn't drink it. And you see, typical people of God, they started murmuring and complaining. And Moses went to God and said, God, what shall I do? And God said, you just put a stick in it. You see, put a stick in it. The stick that we were talking about, just put the cross of Jesus in it. Put a stick in it. Put that stick in it. When you put a stick in it, guess what? The water turned into drinkable one, filtered water. It doesn't say that, but I'm just adding that to you. Filtered spring water in the desert. That's the first thing that he did. That's verse 25 of, Exodus chapter 15. Now, from there, guess what God says? You see, you were talking about drinking water, but God says something over there. And what God says, where am I with my notes? Somewhere. Yeah, I know that. So, and when what God said was that he will heal them supernaturally. That means without Egyptian medicines or human intervention, if they will listen carefully to him. For I am the God of Israel, is the one who heals you. God of my people is the one who heals you. So that was the first thing that he did. He took them out of it. So that means your salvation, when God saves you, one of the things that you have to look out for is your healing. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the enemy will not be happy for you to actually just walk. And he will put the waters of Marah in front of you. But then you have to bring the cross that you yourself said, I've said to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. As he hung on the cross, he died for. Bring that stick, that tree into that bitter water. And that bitter water will become clean water for you. It becomes springs of living water. And these people started drinking it. And God said, you know what? I am the God that heals you. That's the first thing he did. I'm 1,000% sure. According to scripture. That's the first thing. You read it. Because the account of they going through the rest is in chapter 14 and chapter 15 of Exodus. And it is in this chapter that was talked about. The praise and worship was with bands and instruments was from the people. But the healing came from God. You understand that? So today we praise and we worship God, and the healing will have to come from our God. Hallelujah. Amen. Will have to come from our God. So healing is therefore a release from bondage. Healing is a confirmation that you've been released from bondage. You've been released from oppression. You've been released from slavery. You understand that? There's got to be something to testify that you have. For instance, in this country, to show that this time an illegal immigrant has now become a British citizen, there's got to be a swearing of oath to somebody, right? And there's got to be some passport or some certificate to show. So the evidence of our salvation released from all immigration problems is the papers that you've got. So now the evidence of our healing and deliverance from bondage is the healing that we get. So healing is an evidence of our salvation. Hello? Yes. See, this is deep for me, but I'm sure it is also exciting for you. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to look at this healing in a different context today, because I believe God is speaking. So, therefore, if we continue to go on, we said that Christ came to bring the kingdom of God here on earth. God has to heal to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He has to heal us to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is not right for sicknesses to be lodged and remain in our bodies because it weakens and kills us. I know people who have died as a result of sicknesses. And I know people in my family who probably this time they are still sick. Some not physical sickness, but emotional and psychological sicknesses. And they need healing. And what is the evidence? Christ came. It is not right for us not to be healed. God has to come to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And anything that weakens and kills us, it makes us incapacitated. We die because of sicknesses. Because the Bible tells in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anything that is not right in us. Not only your sin, but today I'm just challenging you that healing is part of our salvation. So all those unrighteousness, include our healing, he's going to cleanse us from it. Today, you have to be cleansed from your righteousness. So tell somebody that today I'm going to be cleansed from my unrighteousness. Say it again for them to know that you are saying that. Yeah, not your righteousness, your unrighteousness. Exactly. I know some of you are very righteous. But what I'm saying is that we are going to be cleansed from our unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Things that is not right before God. Because righteousness in simple terms meaning not right before God. So everything that is not right before God, sickness is one of them. How do I know that? Because sickness is a contrary to God's nature. It's the old nature. Has to be destroyed and to remove its hold on our body, soul, and spirit. Because even in the world to come, in the age to come, we read in the Bible, Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 and 5, he said that a time will come that we will see God face to face. And when we see him, there will be no more death. Sometimes we only use these verses when somebody dies. But let us use it when people are alive. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things have passed away. Pain is a sickness. I don't know how women contain pain, but I can't at all. Once I went to gym and I overdid it. It put me off gym forever. I mean, intensive gym life. And I went to A&E and I was sitting there, I'm seeing the nurses thinking, idiot. I mean, nobody was bothering with me for an hour and a half. And I'm thinking, can they see I'm dying? They didn't see anything. Because they thought, oh, this is only. And when the doctor saw me, so this is a muscle pain. And it's like, it's nothing. I'm dying. So I want you to know that pain is not a good thing. Pain is not God's. Pain is as a result of sin or sometimes things that we overdo in our lives. And we bring it upon ourselves. We go way back to the garden and you saw that pain was mentioned there. And it is part of our unrighteousness, part of the things that we do. But so God wants us. So Revelation 21 verse 4 and 5, God wants us to be saved to the uttermost. He wants to remove the old nature away because it's not in God's nature. If it is in God's nature, why will he say there's no more death, no more pain, no more illnesses, no more mourning, no more crying? If it is good, why doesn't he want it? That in heaven, everybody will go, oh God, you know what? I'm so miserable today. Why doesn't he want it? He doesn't want it because it is not his nature. Are you following? It's not his nature, so he will not take it. So that is why our old nature need to give way to the new nature because it talks about new Jerusalem. And things have to be made new. That's what God is saying. You see, I just want you to understand that sickness and illness cannot be a blessing in or from heaven. That is why God has to cleanse us from any curse and he will heal us. Let me read Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 and 3. If you've got it, project it and then we will all read it together. Then the angel showed me, that's John talking, Apostle John. the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruits every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servant will serve him. Hallelujah. So God is saying that, look, before his presence, none of these. Sometimes some of you are under a curse. A curse because somebody in your generations might have done something that has nothing to do with you. But then you are going through something, and somehow along the line, there's got to be deliverance is part of our healing. You understand that? And inner healing is part of our salvation. And by summer, anyone who is willing will go through this in this church. We'll preach about it. Yes? Amen. The children's bread is deliverance. And you are the children of God, so you have to have bread from God. Give us this day our daily bread. Somehow along the line, it's not only the bread that you eat or the money that you get, but your deliverance as part of your package of your salvation. We will go through that because you cannot be an effective minister of God if you don't go through that. Because sometimes there's an entry point of a curse. Or someone has said something over you because you might have done something that hurt them. And their mouth has pronounced something. And that is holding you back and destroying you. That is a curse. In case you are thinking a curse is when you get a few eggs or a dozen eggs and you drop it at the road junction and then you pour some alcohol on it. I mean, that is also the worst form of it. But I tell you, a curse is something that comes from your mouth, right? Which is negative. Some of you even curse yourself, negative confession. Oh, I'm not going to achieve anything. Oh, I'm not going to do this. Oh, and go on. Nothing is happening. You're cursing yourself all the time, and you take forever to untangle yourself, especially when you are hurt, especially when you feel that you've been discriminated or somebody has done something unjustified, you end up cursing yourself. The last point I want to raise is Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the healer. Jesus, who is God on earth, has to demonstrate that he is a healer. Therefore, in his ministry here on earth, healing the sick and all manner of illnesses and casting out unclean spirit became synonymous to his name. Do you understand that? That means whenever you mention the name of Jesus Christ, you are mentioning the name of a healer. Because as we read in Matthew chapter 4, you see that many people were rushing people to Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was a healer. All these regions that we are thinking about, supposing this place is the kingdom of Israel, Syria is here, Galilee, this is where he was operating, Jerusalem is further down, and Judea is over there, Samaria is over here, and all the regions, and Perea, that is across the Jordan, is there. All those places, they came. So you are thinking about all those Middle East people, countries rushing to Jesus for him to heal them. Why? Because they heard he was a healer and was healing all manner of diseases. So he had to demonstrate, because if you're a doctor, you got to heal people, isn't it? If you're a nurse, you got to be caring for people and healing people. Otherwise, what's your point? You can have the certificate in your hand, but if you're not doing anything, it doesn't mean anything. Tom, you are a drama. If you don't drum, you can't call yourself a drama. You are a virtual drama. I'm just saying you're a good drummer. Unless you demonstrate, thank you, Barnabas, he's going to put into practice what he knows he is. So, what we're saying here, my brothers and my sisters, Jesus had to demonstrate that he's a healer. I am the God that heals you. Jesus healed people time and time again and also gave his disciples authority and command to go and do the same. Our fathers obeyed God and took hold of the authority Christ gave them and did just that. Some Christians are still doing that too, and they are using the authority. So why don't church people like ours also do the same and take that authority, the same command we've been given? Why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we allowing the Holy Spirit to use us? Why aren't we allowing the supernatural presence of God to come? Jesus chose his disciples early in ministry so that he would spend time with them, be taught and commissioned to do the works of God. In Luke 22:29, we read, "And I confer on you a kingdom." Hear that. "And I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred on me." Hallelujah. You see, I've read the Bible so many times. First time I've seen it, "I confer upon," in such words, "a kingdom, just as my Father conferred on you." Remember how we started? Repent, for the kingdom of God has come. And the kingdom of God is supernatural. So the same thing I confer on you. We have been sent, my brothers and sisters, to bring salvation by preaching repentance and the imminence, that's nearness of the kingdom of God. This is a supernatural kingdom evidenced by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And before I'm going to sit down today, we said it's a healing service. So we have to demonstrate that our God is a healer. So today, if you hear and you want God to heal you of any disease, illness, sicknesses, oppression, oppressive anything, you want redemption, I want you to run. Don't walk, just run to the front.